I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you can please turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Luke chapter 17, from verse 1 to verse 10. I'm reading from the ESV. And it reads as follows. And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of his little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him, when he come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings unto us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather around your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will open your word to us, open our understanding, and open our hearts to receive your word. Especially, Lord, we pray that, Lord, from this passage of Scripture, we'll see the beauty of our Savior, and that, Lord, we will trust in him. And we pray, Lord, that all of this will bring honor and glory unto your name, for Christ's sake. Amen. My title for this morning is Forgiveness. And briefly, by God's help, we're going to look at 3 things. The necessity of forgiveness, the source of forgiveness, and lastly, the secret of forgiveness. Firstly, the necessity of forgiveness. It's necessary that we must forgive. Why? We are not in heaven yet, are we? We are still on this planet. So sin is bound to happen. This is what the Lord is saying. It says, he said to his disciples, temptations to sin or stumbling blocks or things that causes people to stumble are sure to come. Jesus Christ is not saying that's an ideal situation. He's not saying it must happen, but he's telling us it will happen while we are here. Someone should have read this passage for me. I remember when I went to Bible college. I was a recent convert, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to this Bible college. You've got holy people there, and me, I've just come in. They're going to see I'm not one of them, so I must get myself in order. Well, guess what? At some point, I find myself coming between 2 pastors wanting to trade blows at the Bible college. That's why I'm saying someone should have read this passage to me before I went. Everything and everywhere, things that cause people are going to happen, that cause people to sin. Bible college, things that cause people to sin are going to happen. Church, if you've been in church for some time, you know that this is true, isn't it? Things that cause people to sin are sure to happen. This is a sin-invested or infested environment. Your workplace, your school, your home, on the road, in college, in church, there is sin all around us. And this is going to be until Jesus Christ come back. Then the question is, how then shall we live? How do we live in this sin-infested environment? Jesus gives three things then. Number one, watch yourself. So in other words, you should not shrug it off and say, well, it has happened. Jesus said it was going to happen. It has happened. Notice he says, woe to the one through whom it comes. Even though it's sure to happen, but make sure it doesn't come through you. Make sure it doesn't come through you. That's why it says, watch yourself. So three things. How do you live in a sin-infested environment? Watch yourself, confront, and forgive. On the other side, watch yourself. If you are the offender, repent and ask for forgiveness. So how do you live? You must mind how you live. Take heed unto thyself. Pay attention. Mind how you live. Ladies, mind how you live. Do not cause the brothers to stumble. Brothers, do not cause the ladies to stumble. Mind. Jesus Christ says, if anyone causes any of these little ones to sin, it would be better, that's true, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around the neck and he were cast into the sea, rather than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. So even though he says it's going to happen, but he says it shouldn't come through you. And there is going to be hell to pay if you cause one of these little ones to sin. Are you watching yourself? Am I watching myself? So, if I'm an offender, I must repent. I must ask for forgiveness. And this is not just saying sorry. Sorry is not asking for forgiveness. You're telling me about yourself. You haven't asked for forgiveness. Someone can ask, if they don't forgive me after asking for forgiveness, what must I do? Well, sin is all primarily against God, isn't it? So you sin against God. So if you go to this person and this person does not forgive, first, you've sinned against God. If you're in Christ, you know that God has forgiven you. But it might also be an opportunity for you to swallow your pride and keep trying to show how remorseful you are. But even if they do not, you must know that God has forgiven. In Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus says, if your brother sin against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. And if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So if sin has taken place, it's not an opportunity for you to go talk about it to the next person. Go to the one who sinned against you. Confront and rebuke and forgive. Don't tell others. You can tell others if you want them to go with you so that you can raise that issue with the person who's done that. So, sin is all primarily against God. And if you sin against a person, even though that person might not see it, even though that person might not take any action, but you must know that you have sinned against God. So we must fear God. And then the question of time comes. How many times? Jesus Christ says, pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And we can underline that must. I don't know about you, but me in my sinfulness, 3 times is too much. I'm quick to say, you see, I rebuked you. You're repeating the same stuff. But Jesus Christ says 7 times. In fact, somewhere Peter asked the same question. How many times? 7 times. Jesus said, no, I don't say 7 times. Actually, I mean 70 times 70. So the point is that you should not be counting, should you? Otherwise it would be silly. I mean, you are 143 now. You are 155. Jesus Christ is basically saying, be like God. If God kept the record of sins, who could stand? We would all have finished our quota, isn't it? So God, thank God that He does not count sin. He forgives. And therefore, if we are God's children, we too are supposed to forgive without counting. I know it's easier said than done, but that's what Scripture says. So we should not be counting. So this is the necessity then of forgiveness. In this environment, forgiveness is necessary. We must arm with it. You must arm with a lot of forgiveness. You must be armed with a lot of humility to ask for forgiveness. As long as we are in this sinful world. In heaven, we're not going to be talking about forgiveness, because sin will be taken out. So that is. And then, let's look at the source of forgiveness. After Jesus says 7 times, it says in verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. So they got one thing right, and they got the other wrong. I think they got it right that actually this kind of forgiveness comes from faith, doesn't it? It comes from faith. Because only for a person who believes in Jesus Christ are you given the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because it comes from love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And therefore, a person who is a Christian is expected that they must forgive. That's why in Matthew 18, in that passage, it says, if this person does not repent, you take someone else, and if they do not repent, you tell it to the church. If they do not listen to the church, take them as a Gentile or tax collector. In other words, if a person does not want to obey, he is proving themselves that they are not Christians. And obey there means all, including repentance, including forgiveness. If a person does not forgive, after you show them from Syria that they must forgive, what does that tell you? It tells you that they have not forgiven themselves. That's why the Bible says, God is not going to forgive those who do not forgive. Matthew 6, verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. 18, verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So in other words, if you do not forgive, well, you're not going to be forgiven. It's a proof that you yourself are still in your sin. So they got it right. This is an issue of faith. But where they got it wrong was to think that it's the size of faith that will make you to forgive. And Jesus had to correct them there. It's not an issue of the size. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What does he mean by this? It means, even if it's a small ounce of faith, if it's the right kind of faith, in the right person, you must be able to do great things, including this one, of forgiving 7 times. Because it's not faith that does the thing, isn't it? Is it faith that moves the mountain? No. It's the object of faith, that is God. So it's not just that you believe, but who do you believe in? So if you believe in God, all these other things that the Bible says you can do by faith, you do not do it by faith. It's not faith in faith. That's the word of faith movement says. As long as you believe, speak positivity, they say. Well, that positivity will not get you anywhere. You've got to have a right faith in God. It's God who's able to do those things. It's not your faith. And therefore, if you've got right kind of faith, then you can do great things, including this one of forgiving. Question is, are you having that kind of faith? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Not to get a job, not to pass exam, but for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you let go of anything else that you used to put your trust in and put your trust in Jesus Christ as the only one who provided the perfect righteousness that you needed to be right with God? That's what we're talking about when we talk about faith. Now, if that is the case, if that is true of you, then you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, you've got the Spirit of God. And if you've got the Spirit of God, then you can do these things. So Jesus Christ says, it's not in the size of faith. Now, what is the secret then of forgiveness? Well, the secret of forgiveness is duty. It's in duty. It's in obedience. You see that in verse 10, we have only done what was our duty. In verse 7, he gives a picture here. When any one of you has a servant plowing in the field, so you've got this person is out there working, and when he comes back from working in the field, instead of being told, now come and relax at the table, this person is told he must prepare supper. In fact, he's asking them. This is not just a picture that says maybe slavery is right or wrong. Jesus Christ is using what they are used to. If you've got a servant, if you've got a slave who's working out there, what do you do when he comes back? Why am I telling him to prepare supper? Do you ask him to sit down so that you prepare supper for him? Clearly they'll say no. Do you thank him when he's done what you ask him to do? No. Why not? It's his duty. I'm the master, he's the servant. And then Jesus said in verse 10, so you also, when you have done all that you have commanded, everything else, including this one of forgiveness, when you've done all of it, you must just say, I'm an unworthy servant. I've done what was commanded. What is it from the servant's side of things that makes him to be like this? Why is it that he's not saying, well, I've been out there, I cannot do the rest? Well, this is a person that has been, I mean, they would go out and fight, and these people are defeated, they are supposed to be killed, but they are not killed, they are taken as slaves, they are brought in. So this is a person who understands, I deserve worse. So therefore, to be asked to prepare a supper, it's nothing compared to what I deserve. And Jesus Christ is basically saying, for us, the secret of us forgiving is the same thing. If you think about forgiving seven times is something big, well, remember what you deserve. What is it that you deserve? And not because you've sinned against your brother, you've sinned against God. What is it that you deserve? You deserve to die and go to hell for all eternity. And God saves you by his grace. He forgives your sin and he asks you to forgive. Is it too much? That's where the secret is at. I don't deserve this. I deserve worse. I mean, picture this, the prodigal son. Remember the story? Here is this guy who messed up everything, he goes away, and he comes back, he says, I'm not even worthy to be received back. And the father receives him back. How do you expect him to be when he's back by grace? Do you expect him to say, how dare they speak to me like that? No. Expect him to be humble. I don't even deserve to be here. I shouldn't have been even accepted back in. So now if you ask me to forgive, what is that compared to what I deserve? So the secret of forgiveness then, it's in a strong sense of deserving worse from the Lord, but getting mercy and grace. I should have died and gone to hell, but by the mercy I am alive. And all God is asking me is that I forgive. And he's not asking me what he has not done. He has forgiven me many times himself. That's why you must forgive. So not forgiving is sin against God. That story of a person who was forgiven much, when he went out, he found someone who owed him, and he did not want to forgive. It's a story that talks about Christians who do not want to forgive, isn't it? If God has forgiven you so much, How is it that you do not want to forgive others? So a secret is a low view of self, a sense of unworthiness. Because the opposite is a secret to not forgiving. Why are people not forgiving? It's a high view of self, also known as pride. Well, this person is saying, I am just an unworthy servant. The person who does not want to forgive is a person who says, how dare he speak to me like that? Me? Does he even know who I am? That's a high view of self, isn't it? In other words, I'm not getting what I'm deserving here. I'm deserving respect. People talk about, I'm deserving respect. I'm not getting it. Well, you're right. You're not getting what you deserve. Actually, you deserve worse than what you think. You deserve to go to hell. That's what you deserve. But you're not getting what you deserve. Can you imagine Jesus Christ having that attitude? How dare they crucify me? Me, the Son of God? Do they know who I am? I'm the Creator God? Now who are you? If Jesus Christ did not have that, Philippians chapter 1 that says, even though he was God, he did not look at that as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He came down to die. Not just die, but die on the cross like a criminal. And then you say, me? I'm not speaking to that person again. Does he know who I am? A lecturer? How pitiful is it? Is it not to see a person who's got nothing to boast about? Nothing to be proud of, being very proud. But is it not refreshing to see someone who, at least humanly speaking, who's got a lot to be proud of, but being very humble? Therefore, we must be humble. Humble enough to forgive, humble enough to ask for forgiveness. Why? Because God did not treat us as our sins deserve. Instead, he sent his Son to come and die for us sinners. And therefore, he left us an example. But remember, this can only be done by a person who is in Christ. A person who is not in Christ is not going to be able to understand this. So if you know a person who struggles with forgiving, don't teach them how to forgive. Give them the gospel. They need to know the Savior. Only then can they forgive. And if you are not forgiving, it might just be a sign that you are not the child of God. You need the gospel. That's why we do not need to preach the gospel out there. We also need to preach the gospel in here. And sometimes the signs are that you will struggle. Well, the Lord is telling us it's going to happen. It's a matter of time. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. Sin that brings people to stumble are sure to come, even at the Bible college. How do we deal with that? Ask for forgiveness. Watch yourself. It must not come through you. But if it does happen, repent and ask for forgiveness. Confront and forgive. May God help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your forgiveness as is found in Jesus Christ. Indeed, Lord, we pray that you would have the same spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would glorify you even through this difficult topic of forgiveness. Lord, we ask for forgiveness where we have already sinned against you, where we have slandered instead of confronting, where we have kept grudges, and we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us again because of the same blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And we pray, Lord, that you look to the man at your right hand, Jesus Christ, and forgive us. For his name's sake we pray. Amen.